Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why doth the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake the word of God with boldness. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you for your great gift of salvation. We thank you, Father, for that wonderful fellowship we have together as the people of God. We thank you, Lord, that we are forgiven, that we can come into your very throne, that we can lay our petitions before you, that you've opened this great avenue to us to commune with you daily, moment by moment, any time that we can or choose to, you're readily available. We call it prayer. We thank you for it. We ask, Lord, that even this morning as we've come here to this place, to your house, to assemble with your people, that we might lay aside the things that we have brought with us, concerns and cares of the world, that we might draw strength from your word, that the examples of it might be power in our life, that the Holy Spirit might have free rein again to touch us and speak to us and bring us back unto yourself, heal us, strengthen us, encourage us, lift us up. Father, even today, if decisions need to be made openly and publicly, I pray they'll be done so to honor Jesus, for it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. Alex Carrell said that prayer is the most powerful form of energy one can generate. The influence of prayer on the human mind and body is as demonstrable as the secreting of glands. He said it supplies us with sustaining flow of power in our daily lives. What we see here this morning in Acts chapter 4 is that Peter and John have been arrested and they've been brought before Annas the high priest. Why? Why were they arrested? Well, they're arrested there, and Acts chapter 3 tells us that Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray. And there by the gate beautiful, there was a lame beggar. And this beggar asked alms of Peter and John. And Peter said unto him in verse 6, chapter 3, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He asked for one thing, but he got another. He asked for one thing and he got something greater. Let me just say that I think that that's a pattern with God. We ask him for something. Generally what he will do is give us something greater. So we asked for alms. Peter blessed him. Peter just reached out his hand and told him to stand up, and he stood up, and the scripture says that he was leaping up. And he walked and entered the temple with them. He was walking and leaping and praising God. Don't you know that the people there that day knew something had happened in a most miraculous way? Here's the guy that's always sitting there. And now he's walking and he's leaping and he's praising and he's going right on in with Peter and John. So Peter goes on to Solomon's porch there, and he begins to preach Jesus. He preaches the Lord. He preaches Jesus as the Messiah. Go ahead and read that passage for yourself. He preaches Jesus as the Son of God. He preaches Jesus as the only way of salvation. He preaches Jesus as being crucified and risen from the dead. Peter and John, then, were arrested for what? For healing the lame beggar and for preaching Jesus. Now, you would think to yourself, why would that be any cause for arrest? Let me just tell you something that you know already. When you work in the name of Jesus, there's always going to be opposition. It's always going to be there. There's always going to be that group, that force, that's going to come against you simply because you've lifted the name of Christ. It's not how you look, not how you smell. It's not how you articulate yourself or carry yourself. It's because you name the name of Jesus, and they're violently opposed to that. Well, they had to spend the night in jail, the scripture tells us. And then the Sanhedrin the next day brought them before them, and they forbid them that they should speak of that name of Jesus, in public. Acts chapter 4 and 19 says that Peter responded this way, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto ye more than unto God, then judge ye." Then he said this, "For we cannot but speak of the things which we have seen and which we have heard." So they said, "Shut up, sit down, go to the back of the bus." Peter said, "Sorry, can't do it, won't do it." Now that's very important, because after they were released, they went on to prayer meeting. I thought that's very interesting. And being let go, verse 23, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests had done. You know, these things come and they're just opportunities for us to glorify God. Michael Faraday, who was an English chemist and physicist, probably one of the greatest scientists of the 19th century, was offered by the Queen of England to be knighted for all his scientific achievements and work. But he said, "No, don't need that." Now that's, you know, great honor was being given to him, but he said, "No, I don't need that." But you know, there was one thing that he never missed. You know what it was? Prayer meeting. They had a midweek prayer meeting too. And the record shows that he never missed prayer meeting. Daniel, back in the Old Testament, was a man known for his honesty, wasn't he? He was known for his bravery. But you know, actually, above all, Daniel was a man of prayer. In Daniel's chapter 6 and verse 10, Daniel went into his house, the scripture says. He opened his windows, he got down on his knees, and he prayed three times to God, just like he had always done, even after the decree, which forbid it. He was arrested, thrown in the lion's den, because he would not relent in his prayer life. You know, John Wesley's mother was a very interesting woman, and of course she raised two great preachers, John Wesley and his brother Charles. Charles, of course, wrote countless hymns, some of which we still have in our hymn book today. But one of the things I found very interesting about her was that, of course, she had a house full of children, multiple children, but she never missed her prayer time. You say, "Well, how on earth have you ever been interrupted in your prayer time?" It's almost just normal, isn't it? Just about the time you think you're going to be doing something, the phone rings or somebody calls or somebody does something. Well, you need to get up earlier, stay later or whatever. But you know what she did? No matter what she was doing, she would just take her apron, put it up over her head, and there she was in her prayer closet, and she would pray. I wonder if the baby ever cried when she was in her prayer time. I bet so, don't you think? I wonder if one of the kids didn't, you know, pour the bowl of Lucky Charms over the other one's head right in the middle of her prayer time. I know all those things to be possible and true because that's happened with us many, many times. I remember my wife was getting ready to take the kids and I was going on. And she showed up a little bit later. I didn't know why exactly. But on the way, or at lunchtime, had all the babies dressed and everybody ready to go. And Matthew poured the Lucky Charms over the top of his head or Todd's head. One, I can't remember. Those things happen. But listen, you can take your apron and put it over the top of your head and none of that matters. Go to the Lord in prayer. You see, every time we experience the Lord, it's because we have made time for the Lord. He's always there. It doesn't make any difference. You don't have to be in a special place. You don't have to have a special time. You just have to make time for the Lord. And when we make time for the Lord makes time for us. And when we begin to talk to the Lord begins to talk to us. Now, most of the time, we want to have a monologue. We just want to list off the things that we need, people that are sick, etc., and then hurry on through. But if we'll wait upon the Lord, He'll speak back to us as well. And opposition. There's always going to be opposition to everything we do in the name of Jesus, but there's always going to be opposition and great opposition to us in the discipline of prayer. You know, every challenge in our life is really an opportunity for us to come to God through prayer. Every challenge. It's always right there. When we meet the enemy, and we meet the enemy with prayer, we win. That's all there is to it. When we solve our problems with prayer, then God is glorified, and we're strengthened. You know, the only thing the disciples ever asked Jesus to teach them was to what? To pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Why? I think it was because as they walked along with the Lord Jesus and they experienced all these marvels and wonderful things, they saw that something was preeminent in His life, and that was His time with the Father. That was His prayer time. And so they recognized, no matter how dense they were, and I'm not trying to badmouth the disciples, I would be worse than they. But no matter how slow they were, they recognized that this time called prayer was the key to the Lord Jesus' life. And if they could pick up that key, it would be power in their life. And they asked Him, teach us to pray. And so we must become, if we are to impact our age, people of prayer. God waits on us in prayer, leaving a legacy for our children. You know, the unbelieving world looks at prayer as nothing of any significance. Probably a waste of time. They could probably think of 10 million things that you could do that would be much more important than prayer and prayer time. And unfortunately, I think a majority of us as Bible-believing people have somehow adopted that position as well. Well, it's a good thing. Surely the Bible speaks about it, and there are great examples of it. But, Lord, you don't know my schedule. I'm just too busy. I've got too much to do. Well, the disciples were on their way to prayer meeting. When they were released, they had another one, just a prayer meeting. Being let go, they went to their own company. You know, that's an interesting thing. I don't know why we don't think that it's a good thing for us as the people of God to come together. Here again, I think we bought the wrong tablet. We bought the wrong prescription. It is a good thing for us to come together. We will draw strength from each other. We will learn from each other. That's like iron sharpening iron. We will be better off because we've come together. Can you pray individually and by yourself? Most assuredly. But corporate prayer is stronger even than individual prayer. You know, in Korea, when I was in South Korea and I was in the Air Force, we had a Saturday night evening prayer meeting. We went to chapel 2 and 9 o'clock, and we would have a prayer time. We generally took turns, and somebody would bring some pop, and somebody would bring some chips or pretzel or something. And we would begin with a Bible study time, approximately half hour, 45 minutes or something like that. Then we would stop and we'd have a little fellowship time when we'd drink our pop and eat our chips or something like that. And then we would adjourn and we would come out to the auditorium and we would kind of gather around on the podium area and begin to pray. And we just prayed for as the Lord would lead. Some guys prayed for their family. Some guys prayed for this. Some guys, maybe somebody's child was sick. They're at home. They're thousands of miles away. So there's all kinds of things that people prayed for. People prayed for their parents. People prayed for their brothers and sisters to come to know Christ. It was an endless and maybe infinite list of things that we prayed for. Nobody ever worried about what time it was. You say, well, you guys were all over there all by yourselves. You didn't have any family there. There weren't any wives or children. There wasn't any responsibilities. All you had to do was answer to the Air Force, and the Air Force never, had any kind of call on your life. So, just there, just on vacation over there in Korea. Well, some of that's probably true in the sense that we didn't have as many things calling us away from prayer time as maybe we do here. But we had a prayer time, and it was a sweet time. And like I said, I couldn't tell you what time we got done. It didn't matter. If it was 1 o'clock in the morning, it was just 1 o'clock in the morning. If it was 2 o'clock in the morning, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I remember one particular instance that I rushed back to my barracks so I could change and take a shower because we had 8 o'clock chapel that morning. But I never once thought while I was going from chapel to go take a shower to get ready to come back to chapel that there was something odd about that. Never thought about that. You say, well, it was just a prayer meeting. Not anything happened about it. Well, I do know a few things that I believe took place because of that. When I first went to chapel 2, right after I was saved, there were 3 people there. One of the sergeants was getting ready to go rotate back to the States, and he was talking about a teacher needed for that class. I've told you that story. I'm not going to dwell there, just that there were 3 people there. When I left Korea, there were 150 people there. 8 o'clock, Bible study. There were over 200 in church at that place. Now, that was Chapel 2. Chapel 1 was the chapel to go to. Of course, that was at the 11 o'clock hour. More convenient to get up at, 9:30, mosey around and go on over there. Well, we were already up. We'd already been. But we went on over to Chapel 1 and joined in there as well. I remember the Fulbright colonel that was the preacher there. He was the chaplain for all of Korea. I suppose it became evident to him, hey, what's going on around here? We used to have 8 or 9 people here in Chapel 1, and now we've got this couple hundred folks. It seemed like there maybe 300 and something. I think it held about 500 people. It was usually full, so probably more like 500 people there. Something's going on. And so he asked a couple of guys, what are you guys doing? What are you, because we... Here comes this big gang of guys, What are you guys doing? Well, we've been to chapel too. He said, oh yeah, I heard about that. So why are you coming over here? Well, we just thought we should support any place that was preaching the word. And so we're here. Oh, great. And then he said, are you the guys that meet on Saturday nights over there, chapel 2, 9 o'clock? Yeah. He says, now listen, he said, I've heard great things about that. Now, who do you hear that from? I haven't the slightest idea. It was only a prayer meeting, though. Well, the prayer of this prayer meeting, down there in verse 24, it says, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord. It's interesting. The plural, there were many, became one. So the plural became singular. They began to have one purpose. Friends, when we, being plural, start to be one power. Just a little prayer meeting. Yet they reached out and they laid hold of God, the God of this universe. And then God conversely opened the doors of heaven and spoke and reached out to them. And of course, the Bible says that when they prayed, the place was shaken. The Sanhedrin had told them to be quiet. Don't preach in this name any longer. Verse 29 said, then the Lord gave them boldness. Well, the power of that prayer meeting down there in 31 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not the first time that we read about the disciples being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's actually the third time, day of Pentecost. Peter's filled with the Spirit when he goes before the Sanhedrin. So this is the third time that we see that here in chapter 4. You see, friends, there's one dramatic and marvelous experience with Jesus. You can call that the baptism of the Spirit of God. You can call about that your salvation experience. I don't care what you call that. There's that. But the truth is that we as believers need to be filled and refilled, filled and refilled. It's a constant process. Yes, there's a beginning, no doubt about it. But there's never an end to that. It's a constant thing that we have to be refilled. I remember a joke, and after the two jokes I've already told, I hesitate to tell this one. It may not even be as good as the other two. But anyway, this church was having a revival meeting, and they were having a glorious time, and every night at the revival meeting, the evangelist would give the invitation to come to the altar and pray and stuff like that. And this one man would just come flying out of his seat, race to the altar, throw himself down before the Lord. And then, you know, out loud, he would say, Lord, fill me with the Spirit of God. Fill me, Lord. Forgive me. Fill me. Every night. First thing, here he was down the front. Lord, fill me. Lord, fill me. Well, on the last night of the revival, evangelist gives the invitation. First guy up out of his seat comes rushing forward. He falls on the floor. He begins to pray, Lord, fill me with the Spirit of God. And from the back, a little lady said, Lord, don't do it. He leaks. Well, but we do need to be filled, and we do leak. A God can do nothing through us until he has first done something in us. Well, what did they pray for? Very simple. Verse 28 says, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. That's what they were looking for. With all boldness that they may speak. And of course, verse 31 says, after the place was shaken where they were assembled, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they did speak the word of God with boldness. So God answered. It's only a prayer meeting, but it laid hold to the power of God. Oh, by the way, we have prayer meeting Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. We have prayer meetings on Wednesdays in the morning, in the daytime. We have a ladies' prayer group and Bible study group on Thursdays once a month. Actually, there are prayer meetings going on all the time. Perhaps not every hour and every day, but sufficient enough that you might be able to find one. But it's only a prayer meeting. What could come out of it? What could come out? Yes, that's kind of the question, isn't it? What could come out of it? Well, I put something in your bulletin today, just kind of a little prayer list there, and I would ask you this morning, as part of this invitation, that you would take that prayer list and you would consider it. You can do whatever you will. You can say, I'll just use this piece of paper, or you might say to yourself, I'll fix something better than that. That's fine. But there were a couple of things there that I did ask you to pray for. I'd ask you to pray for Bible study. Friends, it's so important that people study the Word. So important. just like what Joy was talking to the children about eating. What would happen to you if you didn't eat anything this week until Sunday? Well, long about probably Tuesday, your stomach would be growling and you'd be saying to yourself, get thee to McDonald's. You'd want something to eat. You know, I think our spirits are like that. Our spirits, if we listen to them, our spirits groan within us and say, get thee before God. Plenty of things to pray for, but I'd ask you to do that because it's vitally important. I've asked you to consider outreach. We have a visitation program on Tuesday nights. We're visiting people who visited us and others who give us a name to visit. We try to visit those as well. Let's pray for that especially. And, of course, VBS is coming up just a few weeks. There will be people that we will be able to be in contact with for that brief time. They'll just kind of come and shoo their little kids off in the door. We won't be able to have a whole lot of interaction with them, but that will be a time of interaction that we'll have at no other time. That God might touch families' lives through that. And I think there's some blanks there. You fill in the blanks. Heavenly Father, O thou that answerest prayer, mighty are you, maker of heaven and earth. All nature, all creation speaks of your glory. Yet the very pinnacle of your creation, man, many, many times ignores the Creator. Help us, Lord, in these next few weeks to focus ourselves together that the many might become one in praying after your will. Father, we might see something mighty happen in VBS, that we might see something mighty happen in people's lives that we speak to about Jesus. Lord, that we might see something happen in a wonderful and mighty way in Bible study, prayer time. This we ask today in Jesus' name. Amen.